It's an opportunity instead for us to talk about the difference between guilt and responsibility. I really want you to keep that in mind. This is true of all those situations of injustice that we face as human beings. There is a place for guilt. There is. For apologies and for repentance. Repentance means turning around. There's a time to acknowledge the truth of what has happened and what is happening, and that's important. But especially important is responsibility for what happens next. The whole of Christian life and teaching has centered on this, from the time John the Baptist stood on the edge of the Jordan River, preaching repentance of sin and returning to God. So church is the place to talk about this. Jesus' ministry centered in recognizing and speaking the truth, illuminating the truth people did not wish to see, and calling people to a new life. Jesus specifically called us away from wallowing in guilt, but that the truth instead would set us free. Without telling the truth, we cannot move into the light together. So church is the place to talk about this. Jesus' ministry explicitly included people such as Samaritans, women in leadership, Ethiopian eunuchs, slaves, fishermen, boatmen, prostitutes, both male and female, Greeks, Jews, Arabs, Africans, tax collectors, winemakers, travelers, homeless, beggars, and little children. And all of these, at one time or another, have been banned from Christian churches. So church is the place to talk about this. Jesus specifically spoke about the welcome of God for all people. And when the disciples tried to push away women and children, he chastised them. And when they told the man who was blind and a beggar to shut up, Jesus called the man forward instead. The Ethiopian eunuch would have been banned from the temple or a synagogue, but was welcomed by St. Philip. Slaves were considered free by Jesus and were considered equal in the sight of God by Paul. So church is the place to talk about this because Canadian Christians owned slaves until 1839. Canadian Christians. Christian churches supported the institution of slavery based on race. Christian churches segregated themselves. Christian churches became hotbeds of racist activities. And here in Canada, the United Church on the Prairies became recruitment centers for the Ku Klux Klan. Interesting. I didn't know that. In 1927, Alberta Conference voted against a motion to ban the Klan from United Churches. I didn't know that. So the United Church is a place to talk about this. Remember, the purpose of telling the truth is to acknowledge the need for repentance, not to wallow in guilt. And the purpose of repentance is to turn around, to connect again with God, and take responsibility for the future. To agree to learn from our past, not to stay fixed in it. It has been said that the true expression of privilege is the belief that we, the privileged, must never be made to feel uncomfortable, while others feel uncomfortable all the time. There's something else. If you feel uncomfortable about what I just said about the United Church and about racism and about privilege, that's good. That's an appropriate response. The desire to look away means we understand a little of the negative impact of it. Don't feel guilty about feeling uncomfortable. We should feel uncomfortable, but don't turn away. Don't let discomfort become anger at those who name a problem. That's the adversary taking us from relationship Instead, acknowledge discomfort and ask for God's help. That's the time to pray. And so church is the place to talk about this. But also know that God has given us ways forward and has sent to us people willing to teach and to lead. In the midst of this, when we know that racism is an issue that affects many groups beyond those that we would identify as Black or African Canadian, why am I speaking specifically today about Black History Month? It's not to avoid talking about racism in other ways, but it is an example. It's important to see that there are experiences that are specific to different groups of people. There's history that is particular. To talk about particular experiences acknowledges identity, personhood, relationship, and that each person and each group brings particular skills, ideas, and concerns to the table. Remember that table, it's important. It's important to listen to the specific experience of others and acknowledge that there are things to learn. Now, there are problems I experience as a woman, but my experiences of discrimination are not the same as those of a Black woman, or a Cree woman, or an Asian woman. We have many things we share, but just because I've experienced problems doesn't negate theirs or yours. And yet in our culture and in our church, we do that all the time. Oh yes, I've had problems with that. We belittle the experiences of others when we've had our own and we maybe don't identify them. And in doing that, we turn away from the truth about relationship. It is bedrock of Christian faith that our relationship with God is both individual and community. As one individual, each of us leans on God, calls to God, cries to God, blesses God, and hopes in God. As a group of people with a shared identity, Gilmer Park United, the United Church, Christians in Richmond, we people have a shared relationship with God. And the word for the people in Greek is polis. And that is the origin also of the word political. Community relationship with God and others is by its very nature political. So church is the place to talk about this. Now, it'd be really easy for me to quote Martin Luther King here, but I won't, because you can hear a lot of that, and there's other people to hear. Instead, I'd like to quote to you from the writing of one of my friends, part of the Intercultural Steering Committee that I meet with, Reverend Paul Walfall. And he says, "The United Church is the product of the society that it's in. Canadians are polite, and politeness means that you see something, but you smile, and you don't see it, because you don't want to ruffle the person's feathers. You don't want the person to feel embarrassed. You don't want to feel embarrassed yourself. It's easier to ignore it. And I think that at some points we are so polite that we don't want to handle the messy stuff. We want to ignore it or rationalize it away. And sometimes people fear speaking their minds or asking questions because they don't wish to be labeled as racist. So we have polite conversations with each other, but then those polite conversations, we don't get to the truth. Instead of looking to people from the past, we need to look for leadership in the people that are here now. People who have experiences to tell us and leadership to give us and have found in their Christian life a way to reach out to us in ours, a way to be part of a shared community that I was talking about. And I believe Paul is one such example. He works in the United Church in Alberta. Last year, he was asked, remember he was asked, to report at the end of the General Conference of the United Church on his experience. And he shared honestly what he saw, what he experienced, and what he hoped for. He didn't insult, he didn't call for guilt, he just commented on his experiences. Others who were there said, "It was like a bomb went off." And when I watched the tape, I honestly don't understand what happened. What he said wasn't new. It wasn't really unexpected. He was invited. But the anger was palpable, and that in itself shows how much we need to talk about this, because we need to develop ways of talking and changing so bombs don't go off in church. So church is the place to talk about this. Paul Walthall used a simple metaphor, and I found it both helpful and a challenge. He said, "You know, I've been reflecting on the question, who's missing from the table?" It's a question we ask often in the United Church. "For in many ways, I now wonder if that's the real question to be asking. I am now very conscious that simply being at the table may be good, but it's not all that we may want to crack it up to be. The real issue seems to be, who are you at the table? If I'm at the table as your guest, then I'm there to take whatever you put before me. I would hope that you will consider my needs, but really, you don't have to. I'm at this table simply as a guest. If I'm at the table because you are taking pity on me, then even more so I take whatever I get. If you put me at the children's table, then while I am a member of the family, you would have taken away from me any right to speak about what I need. I have no way of influencing the menu. But if you have me there as an adult and a responsible member of the family, then I have the right to participate not only in the eating of the meal, but I would have the right to participate in the creation of the menu and the preparation of the meal itself. The issue for me is no longer about who is missing from the table, but also about what is my place at the table. If you have accepted me there simply to tell me that I must accept what I get, then simply being at the table is not all that we have made it out to be. So what am I doing at this table?" The answer to that question comes out when there's dialogue, when we take seriously each person's experience and treat each person with dignity and respect and love. The answer comes when we do not make people invisible. It comes when each person's unique perspective is valued. It is then that we will be an intercultural community, and it is then that we will be the church that God wants us to be. So said Paul. I would add that we will then become the people God wants us to be, and perhaps the people we want to be. May it be so. Amen.